If you're visiting with us this morning, and we do have visitors, then we are just tracking our way through the Ten Commandments, and this week we find ourselves in the commandment that says, honour your... Thank you very much. Honour your father and mother. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honour your father and mother so that you may live long in the land your God is giving you. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the gift of mums and dads, that they stand in your place to be your representatives in the home. They don't replace you in any way, shape or form, but they are your ambassadors. And we thank you for motherhood and fatherhood, and we pray that that we would honour this scripture in both the way that we think and also in the way that we act. And help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to preach for a long time this morning. That's a statement of faith. If it doesn't become a statement of reality, you just leave when you're finished, okay? And start having the Mother's Day Cafe, and I'll just be out the front here talking to myself. There's a few things I want to say about this particular verse, though. And the first is this, that this is equally as important to parents as it is to children. In this sense, that what you as adult parents model for your aging parents is in fact what you are modeling for your younger children or your grandchildren. Here's a story that will illustrate this. This is from the Grimm brothers, and it is rather a grim story. Once upon a time, there was a little old man. His eyes blinked and his hands trembled when he ate. He clattered the cutlery. His spoon missed his mouth and he dribbled food on the tablecloth. Lacking anywhere else to live, he lived with his married son, but his son's wife was a modern young woman who knew that in-laws oughtn't be tolerated in a woman's house. Hypothetically, theoretically, I know that wouldn't happen with this current group of people, but that can happen. I can't have this, she said to her husband. It interferes with my right to personal happiness. So she and her husband took the little old man by the arm and led him to the corner of the kitchen. There they put him on a stool and gave him his food in a crockery bowl. From then on, he always ate in a corner of the kitchen, blinking at the bench with sad eyes. One day his hands trembled more than usual and the crockery bowl fell to the kitchen floor and broke. If you want to be a pig, said the daughter-in-law, you can eat out of a trough. So they made him a wooden trough and from then on his meals were served in that. This couple were fond of their four-year-old son and one mealtime the young man noticed that his little boy was playing with some bits of wood. What are you doing, son? He asked the child. The son said, I'm making a trough, looking up for approval, to feed you and mummy out of when I get big. The man and his wife looked startled. They went to the corner of the kitchen, took the little old man by the arm, brought him back to the dining table. They sat him in a comfortable chair and gave him his food on a plate. From then on, no one scolded him when he clattered his cutlery, spilled his food, or broke a crockery. Here's the point. There's many parents who want me to expound this to their children, honour your father and mother. And I will say to you that that will happen in your home in as much as you honour your ageing mum and dad. And for some of you, your mum and dad are no longer alive, and it will happen in as much as you honour them in what you say about them, or perhaps what you don't say about them. So the first thing I want you to notice about this particular passage, just one, two verses, is this. This is for us as adult parents to lead by example. The other dimension to that is that mum and dad ought to have mutual respect for one another. What often happens in families is that the children actually become the lightning rod for all the static in the marriage relationship. And mum and dad download, unload, offload onto the children. And sometimes there are things that are said that are very dishonouring of the other person. You know, you can, sometimes the wife will say something like, you know, your father, he's as useless as a sore backside on a boundary rider. You can't get a threepence, you know, worth of work out of him. He lays around on the couch, watches TV, whatever it might be. He's hopeless. And these things are actually articulated. Now, my question is this. Is that child who hears that actually going to honour their father? And the answer is no. So the first point in this commandment, this instruction to honour your mum and dad, is to us as parents, adult parents. The second is this, honour your father and mother. So the point with this particular commandment is this, that God gave mum and dad to children. That mum and dad were to stand united, co-equal, nurturers, instructors, disciplinarians in the family. Now, in my thinking, that doesn't take away from the fact that dad, husband, should have the capacity and the conviction to lead in the home in sense of initiative and responsibility. But I want to say to you that God gave the family mum and dad. Honour your father and mother. And the problem is this, that in some households, the mother is treated like the firstborn child. Michelle Antony, in her book Spiritual Parenting, which is fairly new out, tells a story about a time when she wanted her three-year-old daughter to clean her room. So she instructed her three-year-old daughter to clean her room. Three-year-old daughter came out all obstinate, defiant, and said, no, I'm not going to clean my room. Michelle Antony says that as a mum, she insisted, I insist that you clean your room. The daughter just stood there and the body language was this, I'm not going to do what you tell me. Well, she insisted. She said again to her daughter, honey, will you go and clean your room? And she didn't. And she said, you know, you're going to have to go and you're going to have time out in your room. Clean it while you're there. You're going to have time out in your room. And the daughter said this, you know what? I don't have to obey you. And the mother said, why? And she said, because you're only third in charge. And the mother asked the daughter to explain. And the daughter said, well, first there's God, then there's Daddy, and then there's you. You're only third in charge and I don't have to obey you. So Michelle Antony says that she would do what any rational woman would do in that situation. She rang the second in charge and spoke to her husband. And the husband said this, honey, you are the rational adult in that circumstance. You deal with it. And I want to say to you, and see, what will often happen in a family is this. The mother will say, wait till your father comes home. Ever heard that before? So the mother shirks the discipline, and the father comes home, and he's the bad cop. And there's this unequalness in instruction and discipline, and I want to say to you, honour mum and dad. You listening? Honour your mother and your father. Okay, the third thing I want to say is, why do we honour mum and dad? And here it is. So that it may go well with you, so that you may live long in the land your God is giving you. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says that this is actually the only commandment that comes with a promise. So the promise is this. If you obey mum and dad, you will live long in the land your God has given you. Now, this for the Israelite people, this was looking forward to their occupation in Canaan. And this is the principle. We often think, I'm going to do what's best for me. God says, do what glorifies me, and the effect will be, it will be best for you. In this circumstance, doing what glorifies God is honouring mum and dad, and the promise that goes along with that is that we will live long in the land that God has given us. Now, you need to understand that this is a proverbial promise. And the idea is this, that if we honour mum and dad, if we listen to mum and dad's wisdom about life, about friendship, about finances, about education, about nutrition, about spirituality, about sexuality, if we listen to their wisdom, then it will bode better for us than listening to Facebook, Twitter, the latest crazy teen movie, the latest ridiculous boy band, whatever it might be. If we listen to our parents, if we receive their instruction, then proverbially, while this is not a guarantee, life will go better for us. How many of you can testify that you are in a better place in life because your mum and dad took the time to instruct you and you took the time to listen? You didn't have to put your hands up, but since you did. So three or four of you can testify that your life is actually better. I would like it to be a greater percentage than that to actually prove the point I'm trying to make here. But anyway, right? Here's a commandment with a promise. Listen to mum and dad because it will go well for you. Don't listen to all the other ridiculous nonsense that's out there. Number four, how do we honour mum and dad? I want to read to you a passage. It's an interesting passage. It's in Deuteronomy 21. And here's what it says. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard." Then all of the men of this town, his town, shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Now, some of you teenagers, let me say to you this. You should sleep with one eye open and the window slightly ajar. Right? Some of you are thinking, cool, I rebel, I get stoned. Not in the way that you're thinking of getting stoned. In the biblical way of getting stoned, which was one of two options. One is that the townspeople would throw stones at you until you passed away. Or the other is this, that the big hole would be dug and a huge boulder would be rolled over you. Now some of you parents are thinking, great, Pastor John's given me a verse. I can dig a hole, I can find a rock, my kid will never have to worry about going to school again. In all seriousness, that very rarely happened. And in all seriousness, we now live under the grace of the new covenant, which is a good thing. But I want to say to you, honouring mum and dad was taken seriously amongst the people of Israel. So the consequence was this. The idea of the consequence was to take this commandment seriously. So how do we honour our mother and our father? Well, here's the point. We were children for a short while, but we will always be someone's child. We were a child for a short period of time, relatively, but we will always be someone's child. So there are ages and stages of honouring mum and dad. First of all, when you're a child, the key word is this, obedience. The key word to honouring mum and dad is to obey mum and dad. How many of you have seen this scenario? Aisle 7 in Woolworths. Little 2-year-old Johnny is on the floor face down. His arms and legs are flailing like you wouldn't believe. There is a blood-curdling scream coming out of his mouth. The whole place is just in shock. Right? Have you seen this? And there's mum over little Johnny saying, "Tell me what you want. Just tell me what you want and I'll get it for you. As long as you stop." Ever seen that? Well, Mrs. Bin Laden, you are actually raising the next terrorist. Right? This is what you would call a hostage situation. And I want to say this to you, parents. You need to be convinced, as much as I'm speaking to children, parents, you need to be convinced that it is actually a godly thing for your children to obey you. This is in a world where this is becoming more and more arguable and negotiable. And children, you don't negotiate with mum and dad. Mum and dad say, "This is what's going to happen." That's what's going to happen. Because mum and dad are bigger, smarter and older than you. And God has given you, mum and dad, to you so that mum and dad can guide you. So the key word as a child is obedience. But then we merge from childhood into adolescence. And we have more freedom than we have as a child, but we don't have as much freedom as we will have when we're adults. And the key word in Honoring mum and dad in adolescence is the word respect. What do you say to mum and dad? What do you say about mum and dad when they're not there? And so it's respecting mum and dad's wisdom as they allow you more and more freedom, and as you form your own opinions, it is still respecting mum and dad. The key word, and here's the third stage into adulthood, the key word here is care. Caring for your aging mother and father. For the last 3 years now, we have had the Christmas lunch, okay? Christmas lunch is a wonderful thing. The sad indictment about our Christmas lunch is that there are some elderly people who live in this community who do not get a visit from their children. Do you realise that? There are no arrangements made for them to be with family at all before, during or after Christmas. And so what's happening is the care of elderly people is getting outsourced more and more to the community. And I want to say to you, as an adult parent, your responsibility, my responsibility, in however this works out in our situation, is to in some way, shape or form care for our parents. In the day of Israel, there was no social security, there was no welfare, there was no safety net. It was actually assumed that young children, younger children, adult children would care for their aging parents. This was assumed. This was not negotiated. This was actually the structure and the fabric of the culture. Now, what we're doing is we're outsourcing the care of our elderly parents. Now, in some senses, the care that they can get in a home is better than the care that we can give them. I acknowledge that. But I'm talking about an attitude of the heart here where we just push our parents away and we say, brother will care for mum and dad, sister will care for mum and dad, the community will care for mum and dad, or the hostel will care for mum and dad, and we never have any engagement or contact with them. I will say to you, that is ungodly. That is ungodly. And that is sad. Almost done. I want to say to you, parents, that we need to be honourable parents. If we are asking our children to honour us, it means that we need to be honourable parents. So three things to remember. First is this. Your children are a blessing. Your children are a blessing. Your children are the greatest asset that you have. I don't know what's going on in our world where we want to live in a child-free zone. That we want to hush children away, we want to push children away. We want this child-free culture. I don't know what's going on when there are an alarming amount of men, husbands who are deserting their wives and their children, and in reality they're walking away from their blessing. So the first thing is this, your children are your blessing. If you're going to be an honourable parent, remember your children are your blessing. Secondly, your children are your responsibility. Not the school, not the church, not the police, not the rehab centre. Your children are your responsibility. And thirdly, your children are your followers. Joshua says in Joshua 24, as for me and my household, we are going to serve the Lord. And Joshua's drawing a line in the sand and he's saying, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. And guess what? My tribe is going to do the same. And I want to say this, and I'll speak into our current culture, which is very much influenced by a man called Benjamin Spock. And you would think that with a name like Spock, you'd have more intelligence. But his whole concept was this, that the family was actually a democracy. And this led to a deconstruction of the family unit. So that you had this emerging peer relationship between adult parents and their children. And that is actually a defragmentation of the biblical concept of a family. Yes, ideally your children should be your friends, but ultimately you are still the parent. And do you know what this has led to? This has led to the phenomena, two phenomena, many, but two that I'll mention. The first is this, it's led to the phenomena of the cougar. You've heard of the cougar? The cougar is the 50, 60-something woman who is actually trying to hook up with men the age of her children. Because there's this kind of really unhealthy peer relationship going on. And, you know, and the daughter and the mum are sort of comparing notes about, you know, the hot boys or whatever it might be. The other phenomena that's emerged is this, the perverted male, who's looking at images of women and girls the age of his daughter. So this social experiment has failed miserably. It's failed. Thanks very much, Benjamin Spock, for nothing at all. So I want to say to you that your children are your followers. They're your followers. And you are to disciple them and instruct them and discipline them. And sometimes that discipline includes punitive measures. But that's not the only implication or application of discipline. The final thing I want to say is this. I know today, for many of you, this is a difficult day. And the reason it's difficult is this, that you didn't have honourable parents, you had dishonourable parents. So some of you this morning are feeling the impact and the burden and the hurt of parents who mistreated you, parents who were absent, parents who treated you with disdain or contempt, parents who perhaps abused you in the total scope of abuse. So here's the hard thing. There is no exclusion clause in this commandment for parents who are dishonourable. The Bible doesn't say, honour your father and mother if they deserve honour. If they don't deserve honour, forget this and move on to the next commandment. It doesn't say that. It actually says, honour your father and your mother. So let me just finish with a few things about how you can honour dishonourable parents. The first is this. Give grace. Give them grace. You know, the reality is this. Some children have extraordinarily high expectations and unrealistic expectations about their parents. So much so that if Jesus was their father, they'd still complain. Oh, I don't like his beard, you know. Whatever it might be. And there is a sense, and I'm saying this really carefully because I know this runs deep, there is a sense in which we need to give grace. We need to give grace. We need to perhaps understand where our expectations are too high. Because parents are flawed people. They have feet of clay. I would say as a parent, I am, was, will be a flawed person. Made mistakes. And we need to give our parents grace. Secondly, we need to give forgiveness. Do you realize that if you don't give forgiveness, if you withhold forgiveness, you actually become the person you're not willing to forgive? And this is how it works. You fixate on something. It's like when you teach someone how to drive a car. You remember what it's like to teach your children how to drive a car? For some of you, this is coming, right? So prick your ears up. This is coming for you. And you say to them, see that fire hydrant? Don't hit it. See that stop sign? Don't hit it. See that road sign? Don't hit it. And if you say it more than two or three times, guess what? They begin to fixate on it. And do you know what happens? Once you fixate on something, you steer towards it. Guess what's going to happen? Even though you've told them three times, don't hit it, they're going to hit it. Because you steer towards what you're fixated on. And if, and again I'm saying this carefully with a pastoral heart, if you do not forgive a dishonourable parent, that dishonour, that grievance in your heart will become your fixation and you will steer towards that. And you will actually become the person you're unwilling to forgive. Does that make sense? Give grace, give forgiveness, give thanks. Even the worst parent, there can be a note of thanksgiving about who they were. You might have had a father who was never present, was absent, worked away. Away for 4 weeks, back for 1 day. You had no emotional contact or engagement with that person. But they provided for you, didn't they? Give thanks for that. Give thanks for that. This is about honouring dishonourable parents. Because there is no exclusion clause. There is no exclusion clause. And the final thing is this. I've actually forgotten what it is. Let me read my notes. How do we honour dishonourable parents? Well, we give honour. We give honour. There's a saying that we ought to salute the uniform. And the reality is this. There are some people who wear the military uniform who are not honourable wearers of that uniform. Does that mean then that we should never salute the uniform? God forbid. And so we who perhaps have suffered at the hands of our parents, those of you who have experienced that, you need to salute the uniform. In other words, you need to salute the institution of motherhood and fatherhood as God has given it. Because the only thing worse than not doing that would be to not salute those who are honourable, because there are some who are dishonourable who wear the uniform. Does that make sense? So this morning, perhaps out of the depth of our hurt, we need to salute the uniform and say, thank you, God, for motherhood and fatherhood, because you've given it to us for our well-being. And that's how we honour dishonourable parents. Today's about Mother's Day. This is an honour of mums, and we're going to finish with a little kind of 5-minute DVD clip, if you would. Thanks, Brad.
Mommy's here. Oh, my sweet boy.
Do you have any idea what time it is?
Can you say mama? Mama? Mama.
Atta boy.
Open big wide for mama. What a big boy you are. What a big boy you are.
Okay. No, we can't go to church with jelly all over our face, can we? Oh my goodness. What are you doing with that snake? You go put that snake back in the hole right now.
Good, buddy. Yeah. Way to go. All right, buddy. Hey. Oh, buddy. You okay? You all right?
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord.
Hey, Mom. Mommy needs just a minute. Please.
Hey, Mom. I think you look pretty no matter what. Even when your hair looks really weird.
Mom.
Go straight there. And come right back.
Over here, honey.
Oh, Mom's here. It's okay. Oh, you're okay. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh.
Oh.
Mom, wait. Stop it.
Mom? Dad? I asked Beth to marry me.
Well, what'd she say?
Welcome to the family.
I'm so happy for you.
Hey, Mom.
Where's that grandbaby?
Nice.
Oh, see you.
Oh, yeah, nice to see you too.
Grandma?
Oh, it's okay.
Oh, it's okay.
It's okay.
You did great.
What's that?
The children. You did really great. I always knew you'd be a good dad, but you did really.
Hey, Mom, what are you doing?
Of course you are.
Come sit with me.
You know, I was thinking just the other day about what a wonderful mom you are. I mean, God really blessed me with a great lady. You're my mom. You've always been there for me. Even when I didn't want you to be. And nobody ever believed in me like you do. Thank you. I love you, Mom.
And I love you, son.
So, mums, we salute you today. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for caring for us in the midst of your tiredness and your frustration. We recognise probably, as you would say, that you're not perfect and we're not perfect children, but we honour you today. And may you have a great day. Whatever else transpires, may you be spoiled, may you be honoured, and may you know God's blessing on your life today and forever. Bless you. We're going to sing as Simon comes and leads us now.